Won't keep you long. I want you to take your Bible to Romans chapter number 1, please. Romans chapter number 1. And I do want to read a couple of, about three verses. And familiar verses. God laid this message on my heart. And don't know how far we'll get, but we'll go as the Lord leads. And I promise I won't waste your time. God, you know. Amen. Romans chapter number 1. Look at verse number 14. Romans 1, 14. Paul said, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Father, we love you. Bless the message. Touch our mind. Calm us down, Father, and help us to preach as you have us to today. Touch hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, we find here the book of Romans. Now, the book of Romans actually could be put in two parts. The first part, and probably, I guess, through around from chapter 1 to 5, if I miss that, y'all forgive me, we really have the plan of salvation. It lets us know in our natural state how wicked we are. You can read Romans chapter number 3, and if you think you somebody, you all that, you read Romans chapter number 3, you'll find out exactly what mankind is in his own state. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then, praise God, he gives us a way. He says, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And so we understand that. And God commended his love toward us while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's all in the first part of the book of Romans. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Even go jump over to chapter 10. Hey, Romans 10, 9, 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So through Romans, we have the identification of what we are out of Christ. We're sinners. Right. Amen? Amen? We're sinners. And by the way, when you get saved, that old nature's still there. Right. We have a battle. But yet, in the last section of the book of Romans, it not only gives the plan of salvation, but the product of salvation. In other words, now we have direction on how to live right and what the Lord expects from us in our lives. The book of Romans is a great book. Paul's the penman. The Holy Ghost is the author. But I want you to notice those three verses. There's three things or four things I want to notice in those three verses. Number one, verse number 14, this is going to be my message if I get to it. We see Paul's debt. He said in verse number 14, I am a debtor. We all understand a debtor is somebody that owes somebody something. That's what I'm going to try to preach. We all owe somebody something. That's the message. And so we see his debt. He said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. See, we see evidence of Paul's salvation because before he got saved, he didn't care if his crowd lived or died. He was religious to the core, and he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. In other words, are you talking about somebody? Hey, he judged everybody, but nobody right but him. There's still some of them walking around. But now he's saying, I'm a debtor. I owe these people. And then we see his determination in verse number 15. So as much as in me is. That's a statement right there. We see he said, with everything in me, for as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul said, I got a purpose. I'm determined to get there to Rome to do what? Hobnob? Win a popularity contest? Get likes on Facebook? He said, I'm going to preach the gospel to y'all. Amen. He was determined for that. He said, I'm preaching the gospel to y'all. I don't care about making a pretty picture. I don't care about getting likes. I don't care if a crowd comes or not. I'm here to preach the gospel. And there was so much in him. He said, man, I'm ready to do it. As much as in me is, that's determination. Right. Folks, where's our determination? We know that, folks, you say, well, I'm not called to preach. Folks, I understand that. There's a certain call to preach. But in essence, we're all messengers.
Amen.
We all declarers of the gospel. No Christian is exempt from that. Where's the determination? And then we see Paul was dogmatic in verse number 16 in the first part. He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I like that. I'm not ashamed. You know what he said? I'm not embarrassed to tell it. He said, "Don't bother me to give it." And he said, "It's the gospel. It's the gospel." You understand that there's no salvation apart from the gospel. And he said, "I'm so confident because the gospel worked in me. The gospel changed my life." And he was the chief of sinners. Paul wrote that under divine inspiration in, was it the book of Timothy? That's how he felt. I was the chief of sinners. He wasn't going out murdering nobody, but he had people killed for religious sake. He run havoc in the church before he got saved. So what the Bible said, book of Acts said, Saul of Tarsus, which became Paul, hey, folks, he made a mess of the gospel. He was an enemy of the gospel. He tried to shut down the gospel. Close church doors. Hell preachers and people of God to prison. Left children without their daddies or mamas. That was a wicked man. But the gospel changed all of that.
Amen.
Night and day. I can imagine people that knew him couldn't believe it. It was an instant change in his life. Salvation brings change. People say, "I'm saved," but they're not changed. An evidence of salvation is that you change. I didn't say you're perfect. I didn't say you wouldn't fall. I'm saying that you're changed. There's an evidence of it. Paul was, he was clearly, we saw the evidence. Because the gospel changed that wicked, vile man. And folks, that's why he wasn't ashamed. He said, "I know it works. I know it works. I know it'll do what he said." And he said, "I'm not ashamed of it." He was dogmatic about it. Then in verse 16 again, we see Paul's dynamite. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That word "power" in the Greek means dunamis. That's where we get the word dynamite. That's right. Paul said, "Hey, the gospel will go off in somebody's heart like dynamite." Boy, that's the truth. That's the truth. You can give sad stories to unsaved people. You can tell them this or that. You know what? They may shed a tear, but it won't go off like dynamite. But you keep giving them the gospel that Christ died for their sin. And talk about their sin. And he was buried and rose again the third day that they could have life and have it more abundantly. And you keep giving them the gospel. About, hey, I promise you one day it's going to go off like dynamite. Thank God. But this morning, I'm going to give you some things quickly, very, very quickly. About Paul said in verse number 15, excuse me, verse number 14, he said, "I am a debtor." You look that word "debt" up, the person who owes another. Paul said, "I owe you. I owe you something." We live in a society today, folks, we might as well say amen, carefree, happy-go-lucky. They have the attitude, even in the churches, "I don't owe nobody nothing." That's a false statement. That's an unbiblical statement. Am I right? Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse number 15, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep." You owe people that.
Amen.
Romans 14, 7, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself."
Amen.
The Lord don't want inactive Christians.
Amen.
He don't want the mindset of a child of God to have, "Well, I'm owed something." Now, I understand that as far as being a Christian, you're owed the preacher to preach to you. You're owed to have a church. I understand all that. But the mindset is, I don't owe nobody nothing, but you owe me something. I have people a lot. Don't get me wrong. Y'all know what we do. We support a lot of missions. But, you know, people get big ideas in their mind about a ministry or something. And I'm not saying God's not in it. But all of a sudden, their burden should become your burden. In other words, now, I'm telling you what I feel like God wants me to do. Now, you pay for it. I'm all for helping people. We you know that. We give a lot. But the mentality this day is, and folks, we have a lot of preachers coming in that saying, young preachers coming up, and you young preachers, I know y'all not doing it, so I'm going to preach this so you don't ever do it. Nobody owe, you owe something. Come into the mentality that I owe you, not that you owe me. You be faithful to God, and He'll supply your need. You share your burden and pray, but don't do it in a way that you're thinking, you owe me something. We're not, we have that mentality that, you know what? Whatever I tell you God wants me to do, you owe it to me. And if you don't give it to me, then you're not doing me right. I've had it happen to me in recent years. Sit in my office and tell me how sorry I am because I didn't give them what I owed them. And they don't understand, when I rebuke them for that and try to explain, no, you owe this to me. Because I'm this and I'm that. Hey, nobody owed. Hey, I never did think my pastor owed me a ministry or owed me the financing. Never in. That's the difference of the generations. Yes, we need support from others. But hey, to have the mentality, hey, I'm telling you what God wants me to do. Now, hey, you open that billfold. You make sure I got. Hey, that ain't how it works. Where God guides, God provides. And people will be by your side and help you, but don't get that mentality. I've done everything right, so you owe me this. That's not biblical in any stretch of the means. But we do owe something. Now I'm going to run down some things. Number one, to the sinner, I owe the gospel. That's right. The person of the gospel is Christ. Paul said the gospel of Christ. There are other gospels, but they're not the gospel. Paul said that those that pervert the gospel, and I'm not going to try to quote the words, but said, wish they'd just die and go on to hell because they're causing people to do that. Preaching a perverted gospel. Name but one gospel. There's only one way to heaven. They're not 10 ways. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I talked to some people from India that I used to work with, trying to give them the gospel, and they finally said, you call God, I call my God this and that, but we all going to the same place. I said, nuh-uh, if we don't go through Christ. I said, Kurt, if we don't go through Christ, hey, we ain't going to heaven. Allah, none of that. Muhammad, they ain't getting you there. They're dead and in hell, son. Well, how do you know that? Because they rejected the gospel. They put themselves on the same level as Christ. No, they don't do that. There's only one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we owe the person of Christ, the power of the gospel we owe. He said, the gospel of Christ unto salvation. There's no salvation without the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it's the power of God unto salvation. So, you can't get saved apart from the gospel. Amen. Right. The Lord gives you the faith to believe the gospel. Amen. Folks, I'm glad the Lord gave me the faith. Folks, we wasn't there, so he gave me the faith. Folks, I believe it with all my heart. Amen. The prospects of the gospel, everyone that believeth. So what are you saying, preacher? Everywhere you go, give the gospel. So to the sinner, I owe the gospel. To the Savior, I owe some glory. I want to read some verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 19 and 20. Paul said this, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Did you get that? Say, people, the Holy Ghost, which is in you. When you got saved, the Spirit of God moved in you. That's why he's an ever-present help, because he's in you. He's omnipresent. Well, how can he be in me and be in you at the same time? He's God. He's omnipresent. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Then he said in verse 20, for you are bought with a price. Listen, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we owe him some glory. Internally, glorify God within us. Externally, glorify God outwardly. Amen. It's easy. It's easy to get up and shout a team on. I like to do it. I ain't going to just sit there. They score a touchdown. I'm going, woo. If they lose, I'm going to say, they got cheated. But hey, we're God's people. He saved us from the wrath to come. Our citizenship's in heaven. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, I don't like that amening. I don't like. I had a preacher call me one time. Y'all need to know who it is. And he was telling me about. He said, "I heard this lady was visiting your church, and I couldn't think of who he was talking about." And he said, "I just want to warn you." He said, "She disrupts the service." I said, "Really?" I said, "What does she do?" Says amen. Gets up and says glory. He said, "We don't do that here." I said, "She'd be out at our church." I said, "I'm praying for more of them." But I said, "Brother, I don't think she's been here. Because I ain't heard nobody saying that I don't know." Amen. You're not out of order. Saying amen. You're not out of order raising your hand. Well, I ain't going to do it unless I feel it. You got to do it because you've been commanded to do it. And about your feelings. I ain't going to shout unless I feel it. I'm glad God gave me something I can feel. But he told me, let's redeem the Lord say so. Amen. That's a commandment. Amen. It doesn't matter if I come in and I don't feel good. He still deserves an amen. Amen. And a glory. And a hallelujah. Amen. Bless the Lord. He still deserves glory from me. Amen. No matter how I feel or what I'm going through, I'm still not going to hell. I'm still on my way to heaven, thank God. He deserves our praise. We owe that. You owe that. The Savior, I owe him some glory. To the saints, I owe some gifts. What is the gifts? Time, talents, tithes, testimony. Be an encouragement to the believers. We also, to society, I owe some godliness. Listen to me now. The very first time the word Christian shows up in the Bible, it's the book of Acts, what is it, 11:26? And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Why? Why would they do? Why would they call them that? Because their life identified with Christ. In love, in looks, in loyalty, in how they lived. And they were spotted as Christians, Christ-like people. Folks, we owe society, to my community, I owe a godly person. To my companion, my wife, I owe a godly partner. To my children, I owe a godly parent. Amen. Let that sink in. How you put grandbabies in there now? That's right. To society, I owe some God. What is people seeing in us? Without saying anything. Folks, again, please don't take this as I'm bragging on myself, because I'm a project to God. He's still working on me. You understand me? This ain't a boast. But it blessed me. When Brother Edwards had his surgery, I booked a motel. We all stayed in the same motel, but smart man here booked it for the next day. I go in there. I said, I'm Tommy Turner. Got a room book. I'm tired. Give me a key. I didn't say all that. The lady looked at the computer. She said, you actually booked it for tomorrow. And I automatically, my mind said, yeah, that's something I do. I said, ma'am, are you serious? She goes, yes, sir. I said, I hate that. I said, what can we do? She said, let me see. And I said, I'm going, please, Lord, I don't want to sleep in my truck. And they worked with me. I said, I appreciate it. I said, I got a church member having surgery over here. I need to be there in the morning. And I said, I'm a pastor. So they worked it out, got me a room, nice room. And I'm going to the elevator, and that lady at the desk, she said, I knew you was a preacher before you said you was a preacher by how you acted. The Lord showed me it's important that you sow godliness. Between the Holy Ghost and my wife, they try to keep me in line. It's a hard job, but she chose it, amen. To myself, I owe some guidelines. I'm thankful, I'm sure I'm saved. And God said, quit you like men. That means be brave. Don't back down as far as you stand for Christ. So I owe myself to be strong in the faith. Then we owe ourselves to be steadfast in it. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
That's right.
Amen goes right there. Amen. Paul said, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. I owe. God called me and I have a debt now. Christ paid the ultimate debt. Now I have a debt to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome, to the Greek, the barbarians, everybody I see, I owe you that. Folks, we owe too. Our mentality is that you owe me. Mm-mm. We owe. God, we owe. We have a debt. We have a debt. Are you performing what you owe? If you're lost, you need to be saved this morning. God wants you to be saved. He sent His Son to take your sin. Hey, He wants you saved. You need to get saved if you're not saved. Amen. I'm serious. This thing's about to wind up.
You're right. That's right.
Yes, sir. Don't tarry. Don't wait too long. You know, there came a day that God closed the door of the ark. Noah didn't close it. God did. And the Bible says that he closes doors no man can open and shuts them. He closes doors that no man can open and opens doors no man can shut. See, that's a picture of one day grace is ended. We're in the dispensation of grace, but there's other. This isn't forever. One day grace is going to be gone. Right now we have God's grace and God's mercy and He's dealing with you, but you keep waiting, you keep tarrying, that door get closed on you. It's appointed a man wants to die. You could go out to eternity before you get saved. The trump of God could sound and the rapture of the church could take place before you get saved. You keep on keeping on and God will quit dealing with you. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Don't tarry. Don't wait. Don't wait. And when you get saved, be a debtor. Let's all stand. Court's coming. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the altar.